I don't know if you were at the Waukesha Christmas parade that took place yesterday, but, you know, it's always a somber time. You're always thinking back at what happened with the Christmas parade tragedy, where more than 60 people were hurt and 6 people were killed, including a young child. And you never want to post anything online that would look like it's a threat. But apparently new information about the arrest made right before the Waukesha Christmas parade yesterday. And WTMJ's Adam Roberts has been digging into this all day in his new information. Adam.
Yes, Julia and Telly. So this refers to a incident that was posted on social media that led to this arrest, as you alluded to. This happened during the day yesterday leading up to the parade. So this was in the hours before the parade took off in the 4 o'clock hour. Important to note, there was never any active threat to the public. The parade proceeded as scheduled. There was increased security, but as we've seen in the years since the 2021 attack, that's par for the course. They've really upped making people feel safe with different barriers, different measures to keep everyone feeling secure. Well, there's new information I've been able to find in communication with the Waukesha Police Department. First of all, I do have a name, but I am not going to name the suspect yet. I have not been formally criminally charged, company policy. But what I can tell you is what led to the arrest on social media, or what happened on social media that led to the arrest. So a call log from police indicates the situation began when a post was made after the Waukesha North Marching Band had indicated they were not going to be performing in the parade because it was fairly cold. You've got instruments that are made of metal that it doesn't always work well. So the Waukesha North Marching Band posts that they had canceled their participation in the parade. On that post, there was the comment that read, quote, "I feel like the 1993 Falling Down movie, and I'm one more thing away from snapping." This references this movie from about 30 years ago where a male character cracks in freeway traffic and proceeds to go on a killing spree. So you put the two together, and police, given, as you mentioned, Julia, how heightened tensions can be given the past history with this event, proceeded to investigate the situation and proceeded to make an arrest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was with Michael Douglas.
And I think Robert Duvall as well.
Yep, that was the guy that was playing the police officer trying to find him.
Yeah, and Adam, you also got to think about the fact that the timing of all this, they had to take it as seriously as they did, because something like that, now if this was a post during the summer, maybe not so much, but with it being so close to the parade, they had to take it seriously, correct?
And according to the call log to that point, Telly, this came in to the department around 2:45. The parade kicks off in, as I mentioned, the 4 o'clock hour. So that's a pretty tight window to work, which explains the heightened seriousness of going after this right away.
Yeah, and not joking around about a parade that has such a dark past.
Yes, yes. I mean, even... There really isn't no explanation as to why you would post something like that unless you really were thinking about doing something like that.
Well, that's the one thing that the police were saying, was that, you know, you can say whatever you want. There is freedom of speech. But then if you cross a line of threats or causing, you know, chaos, like yelling fire or something like that in an auditorium, or saying something like that on the heels of a parade that has, again, such a sad past.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's going to be charged, or she is going to be charged with.
Well, the good thing
we
is
we don't know for sure who it is.
Yeah, yet. He or
yeah.
She.
Yeah. Yeah, but the good thing is whoever it was got arrested before anything, you know, transpired. So that's the silver lining in all of this.
Yes. And the parade went off without a hitch. As we saw, it was a very touching moment at the very beginning, and then a moment of celebration for the entire community that has seen that event be a source of sadness in the years that have passed. It has become a symbol of hope and the whole Waukesha Strong movement.
Yeah, the dancing grannies look great. Adam, thank you so much for that new information. Wow.
Of course.
518 on WTMJ. Hey, do you know about that Louvre heist in Paris?
Yes.
Were all of those wonderful jewels that belonged to the royals like Marie Antoinette back in the day were stolen?
Yeah, and the password to get in was Louvre.
I
remember that.
Oh, don't remind me. I forgot. Yeah, the password that the security set up was Louvre. Was that
you
my
cannot
dad?
Make that up.
Was that my dad? Sheesh. Okay, they have something else in the headlines today.
Oh, boy.
There's a massive water leak at the Louvre. It damaged hundreds of historic books, exposing further issues. The leak damaged 300 to 400 books dated to the end of the 19th century to the beginning of the 20th century. What? It happened November 26th, but it's only coming to light now.
I'm laughing because this has been a bad year for the Louvre. Like, whoever is the director or the CEO or something, like, they got, man, this has been a rough year for them.
Oh my gosh. Right? Okay, so it's plumbing that's no longer used, and they turned on the plumbing in error.
So someone just woke up one day and said, you know what, it'd be a good idea to turn that on, even though it's not supposed to be on.
Oh my!
Yeah, this is, like I said, 2026 can't come fast enough for the Louvre Museum.
So the historic texts are related to Egyptology and scientific documentation. So what they're doing now is they're going to be returned to the shelves after they've dried out and have been repaired by workers. How mad would you be if you were one of those people that are preserving all these wonderful books? Ooh, I would want to be.
Well, I'm at least going to get some overtime for this one.
Yeah, exactly. It's 5:23 on WTMJ. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you're having a fantastic start to your week. Hey, all this week, Wisconsin's Morning News is unveiling WTMJ's Standouts of the Year. These are people who have made an impact on our state in the past year. And today's standout, Microsoft President Brad Smith.
This is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
The world's most powerful AI data center, dubbed Fairwater, is rising in Mount Pleasant.
As we get steel from near Wausau, as we get chillers from La Crosse, as we get generators from near Madison.
Fairwater is more than just business for Microsoft President Brad Smith.
Certainly the fact that Brad Smith is from Racine County, he's familiar with the region, and he certainly made statements to that effect.
Smith's a Wisconsin native. Born in Milwaukee, he spent 5 years as a kid living in Mount Pleasant. He even delivered papers. But the Milwaukee Business Journal's Rich Kirchen says the site is more than just nostalgia.
It's the available land. It's the willingness of We Energies and other energy companies in Wisconsin. So they're happy to invest to provide the electricity that's needed. And then the other thing is the state a few years ago did enact a new tax break for data center projects.
In turn, Microsoft plans to create Wisconsin's first data center academy at Gateway Technical College and the Microsoft AI Co-Innovation Lab at UW-Milwaukee.
This is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
Smith says all of it is meant to bring new advancements in medicine, science, and other critical fields right here in Wisconsin.
Bad idea for that land and a bad idea for Caledonia.
The proposed behemoth Microsoft data center would all have disfigured the essential character of Caledonia permanently.
Profit should not always be the overriding factor.
Now, Fairwater is not without its critics. Environmental concerns, AI concerns. There was backlash to a second proposed Microsoft data center in Caledonia.
This seemed like something we were about to do to the village, not for the village.
A lot of residents were concerned about the effect on the community, traffic going in and out, lighting, et cetera, et cetera.
Smith and Microsoft decided to pull out.
The village board was ready to approve the project, but the company, which does seem to be sensitive to local concerns, decided that they would withdraw that site, and they said they would keep looking in Racine County.
We have a philosophy. It's under promise, over deliver, and partner with the community.
Smith says they are committing an additional $4 billion to be spent over the next 3 years, similar in size to Fairwater, bringing their total investment in Wisconsin to more than $7 billion.
We will train more than 100,000 people in Wisconsin by the end of the decade so they have the AI skills to fill the jobs of tomorrow.
Wait, Wisconsin's Morning News will unveil another standout of the year tomorrow morning at 7:20. You can learn more by texting the word standout to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. That's standout. She is our TMJ4 meteorologist, Lauren Larson. Lauren, how are you?
Pretty good for a Monday night. You know, it's not quite as cold as last night, so feeling okay. How are you?
Yeah, I know. It's 23 degrees, though. That always hurts. If it gets to 27, I don't know why. That's my number where I'm just like, ugh, I can't get any better. So tonight, it looks like we could get some snow. Is it more north of Sheboygan or at Sheboygan and north?
Yeah, exactly. I would say Sheboygan and Fond du Lac counties are looking at probably an inch of snow, and then snowfall accumulations really taper off further down to the south. We may see, you know, a light dusting in Milwaukee. So I would expect another slick morning as we just kind of keep an eye on round after round of snow chances throughout the next couple days.
Yeah, Lauren, I was just going to ask that. It just seems like this pattern, is this something we're just going to have to get used to? It just seems like it's going to snow every other day.
Yeah, I do think the pattern is going to switch as we look towards next week. So this won't be really the story for the next 25 days, or I guess it won't be the story for the rest of the month. But so far this week, it does look to just be snow chance after snow chance after snow chance.
All right. So then we'll go to tomorrow night.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow night is definitely.
Go ahead.
Okay. Tomorrow night's going to be more impactful. We do have that winter weather advisory once again for Green Lake County, Fond du Lac County, Sheboygan County. So it is a clipper system, which means our northern counties are expected to get hit a little bit more. But in general, Tuesday night into Wednesday will be more impactful. We'll see more snow. 1 to 3 inches is what we're thinking right now for that advisory area, and then up to an inch as you look closer to 94 and south. And then it could turn over to rain overnight into Wednesday morning, and then snow throughout the day on Wednesday. Really what we're keeping an eye on is the track and position of this storm and where the rain-snow line will set up. Right now we're talking about maybe 3 inches of snow, but we may see that number go up or down depending on how much rain we're expecting.
Ooh, that's scary. So the rain, the high on Wednesday is 36. Do you think it could freeze?
I do think there is the potential for freezing rain Wednesday morning.
Ooh, that's not good. Telly.
I'm sorry. I checked out. I'm so disturbed by this forecast. And I am not a fan of the cold and snow. And so hearing all of this is just, it just seemed like it's just more daggers just thrown at me because it's not fun.
Okay, so we got.
Yeah, I would say you need to allow more time in your schedule for the next couple of days. I would expect the roads to really just be slick and kind of messy as we look towards Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and Wednesday night. Really just be safe because there will definitely be slick spots. I can't say exactly where that rain and snow will be, though.
Thursday, Friday, it says a slight chance of flurries, and then Friday, a chance of snow. How much is that?
We'll have to get through Tuesday and Wednesday to get a better idea. Right now, accumulations are looking to be very minor for both of those days.
That's good. All right. She is TMJ4's meteorologist, Lauren Larson. Are you going to be on at 6?
I will be on at 6.
All right. We'll look for you. Thank you so much. Watch Channel 4.
Thanks, guys.
Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm pumped. I'm in such a good mood. Are you in a good mood?
Good. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
What did you think about when the Bears when the Bears scored a touchdown and they tried to do the Lambeau leap?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that's a common practice for all visiting teams in the Lambeau. They all wanted, yeah, they all want to do that. And then if they happen to jump into a section that doesn't have a friendly face, they all get shoved back, which is normally pretty funny. But that seems like common practice for the visitors. They all try to get up in the stands and kind of try to rub it in Packers fans' faces. But it's always the end result that matters. That's always the best part about, especially when Chicago comes to town, it's the end result. And the streak kind of continues, it seems, right? The common trend continues.
Brian, we know that Jordan Love has had a lot of signature wins, but and we're really quick as fans to jump on him and when he doesn't play well. But would you consider yesterday's win a signature win for Jordan Love this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think signature wins are, like, you got to look. I always put them in, like, categories, right? And I think when you look at this one, I put this one kind of in that signature win category because Chicago's finally good, right? Like, they're finally a good team. And you watched Chicago play yesterday, and I'll give it to them. Like, they're a team that looks like they're going to be around for a while, right? Like, they look like they're a team that's only going to get better as they continue to draft and develop and sign free agents. Like, I think they're going to be around for a while, and this is going to be a battle between, you know, Jordan Love and I guess this Caleb Williams is going to be there for, I don't know, right? But between this, you know, Jordan Love and this Bears team, this is going to be an issue for a while. And to get this type of win, all eyes on it, right? They were the one seed going into it. You know, everything was, you know, this was a big game. And the way he performed and kind of the, you know, how calm he was under, you know, all the pressure and things like that. Yeah, I mean, I would say this is a signature win. You could look at last week and Thanksgiving, you know, that was, I'm so messed up in my days because of the Thursday game and everything like that. I think that was a signature win against Detroit. I think he's kind of putting together some big wins against division opponents, which I think fits into that category as signature type victories. When you're doing it against good teams, right? You put up 350 yards against a bad team. It doesn't do it for me. Right. But you play well against good teams on the, you know, on the biggest stage, that fits the bill, right? That kind of moves you into those signature type wins. And it seems like this time of year, Jordan Love this is when he does it, man. He steps up to the plate. He plays his best ball, which is good for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Brian, I was thinking signature win. Yes, that the win against Detroit was a big one on Thanksgiving Day. But, I mean, the stakes were much higher. You had the team that you are trailing in the division come to your house, and you're able to beat them. And now you got to focus on, well, you got to focus on Denver now, and then you'll focus on the Chicago Bears again. But one other question I had for you, and that is a lot of times you really don't miss what you have until it's gone. But in this instance, you really don't realize how much you miss a Jaden Reed until he returns. And could you just talk a little bit about having, you know, pretty much a healthy receiving core moving forward this late in the season and the difference it makes having Watson and Reed on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see what it does to defenses, right? I mean, it is now a true arsenal of weapons for Jordan Love to go to. I mean, who would have thought that? And I think, what was it, his second touchdown pass is going to Bo Melton, right? But, like, what that's showing is defenses are so keyed in on Watson and Reed and Wicks and Golden. They're so keyed in on these guys. Bo Melton's running free down the middle of the field, wide open, right? Like, I mean, that's the type of impact getting these types of players back at this time of the year does for the offense and what they do to defenses, right? They have to try to plan for all these different weapons and how LaFleur is going to use them and how accurate Jordan is getting them the ball. And when he goes to Reed so early in the game and so often, right away, Chicago, not just the D coordinator, but the players on the defensive side of the ball for Chicago, they go, all right, like, they're trying to get him the football. So that in their mind already, you know, in key situations, they're starting to, you know, their eyes start to go to him a little bit. And that opens up certain areas of the field for other guys. And you could see Jordan, you know, manipulate that. And he's working the field like he always does, right? He doesn't key in on one guy. He's very good at finding the open man. But when you have so many guys that can work open and get open in space and they're, you know, they have good hands, you know, they've been really good. You know, I know last year was a little bit of an off year catching the football, right? I mean, there's a lot of drops last year. Not so much the case this year. Guys are, you know, I'm knocking on wood here, like, they're doing a good job bringing that football in, securing it, and really doing a great job after the catch, too. When you have that many weapons, man, it is hard to defend. I was blessed as a player to be on a lot of offenses when you have four receivers that can really make you pay, and it's very hard on defenses to defend that. And when you have the quarterback that can deal it too, man, like it's tough on D coordinators to say, all right, we're going to take away this option or that option. Well, you still got a couple more options you got to deal with, right? And that's tough to game plan week in and week out.
We have Green Bay Packers champion Brian Bulaga with us. So the Bears lost their top receiver because there was some type of foot injury, and that was announced last Friday. And then I was thinking about in the first quarter, I think it was, as Love was trying to throw to Golden, and that didn't happen. There was an interception. When we think 2 weeks out, do you think that, is it Roma Odunze? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Roma Odunze. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Roma Odunze? Yep. Sorry, I don't pay attention to the Bears players very much. But it seems like he was really, really good. A lot of people were talking about him. Oh, he's not in.
Yep.
And also, are they going to be looking at that replay of, you know, when Golden lost that catch?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think having Odunze, when he comes back, right, I mean, obviously he'll be a factor in the game. But you kind of look at the way Chicago was successful, right? Like, they were successful running the football. They weren't successful through the air, right? I mean, and I think what Green Bay is going to really have to focus on, I mean, obviously they have to focus on Denver this week because Denver presents a whole different set of challenges, and going out there and playing them with the altitude and how good that defense is and kind of the way Denver plays. But you go play Chicago again in Chicago, you have to get ready to play that ground game again, right? Like, that's what Chicago is very good at. We saw it, you know, right in front of everybody. They were very good running the football against us, and that's going to be their formula to beat Green Bay is to run the ball, right? I mean, I'm not too worried about, you know, Caleb Williams and their wideouts throwing the ball up and down the field against our pass rushers and kind of that. Like, that's not really the concern. It's can we consistently stop the run when it's needed, right? Like, and I think that's the biggest thing that going into that next Bears game, can the game planning of Halfley and kind of the scheming, can we stop that Bears run game to make Caleb Williams throw the ball 30 times? I think that's what you want to see going into the next game, to see him throw the ball 30 plus times. And can we take advantage of that? Because that's the formula. The formula isn't to have them run the ball 30 plus times, because if they're running it 30 plus times, there's a lot of success that comes with that for Chicago. Like, they're very good at running the football. But if we make them throw it 30 plus times, that's in our favor, because that's 30 plus times that Micah gets the rush, the passer, and Rashawn Gary and all these other guys. So, I get Odunze is a very good receiver, but I'll take our chances, you know, with him dropping back and throwing it and our guys going to try to get him. I'll put it that way.
He is your Green Bay Packers champion, Brian Bulaga. Thank you. Talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.